Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. But if not, don't worry. We're going to have the scripture up on our screen here momentarily. Stand, if you would. We'll read our scripture text. We'll get right into our message. Of course, as Pastor Dan said, we're going to be continuing where we left off last week. Reading in verse 22 from Genesis chapter 8. This is after 370 days approximately on the ark, after land was dry again and the ark was settled. They opened the door. God opened the door, actually. The animals were released. And the first thing that Noah did was offer a sacrifice and praise the Lord. And God responded with this promise and the rainbow seal. And he said, while the earth remains, as long as there is earth, there will be seed time and harvest. There will be cold and heat. There will be summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the Word of God. So in other words, as long as the earth is here, we will have weather, we will have seasons, we will have climate. Today is going to be part two of the message, Fire and Ice, Facts and Politics on Climate Change. Last week, of course, we focused on the facts of the climate debate. Man-made climate debate, that is. Of course, Pastor Dan said, climate always changes. The whole idea that man is behind global warming and if we don't stop using fossil fuels, we're all going to die is a lie, which we demonstrated last week. I encourage you, if you've not seen the message, watch it. Share it on social media. Truth is a great elixir for deception. Today, we're going to be dealing with the politics of climate change, why we're seeing what we're seeing, and we hope to tie it all together. So let's pray. Father, please bless now our study. Help me to be clear in speech and thought. And Lord, open our hearts to receive truth. Grow us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The book of Revelation contains some 404 verses. And out of those 404 verses, there are over 800 either direct quotes, references, or allusions to what we call the Old Testament. You know, the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that has the audacity to say, read me, I'm special. We know that anytime we study the Word of God, we're going to be blessed. But Revelation 1 promises a special blessing to those that study it. And I believe that's partially because of what I just stated. The only way you can understand the book of Revelation is to have a great working knowledge of the first 39 books. That used to go without saying. That was understood. As a matter of fact, the only Bible that the first church had for some two decades was what we call the Old Testament. But now, sadly, most New Testament Christians don't spend any time in the Old Testament. The only time a pastor will preach on it is when he's preaching a couple of times a year on tithing, and he turns to the book of Malachi to reference storehouse giving. But the reality is the entirety of the New Testament stands upon the Old Testament. And if we don't understand the Old Testament, you're going to have a hard time understanding the New, and you certainly won't understand the book of Revelation, because the mysteries supposedly in it are actually unlocked by referencing the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 9 are keys to understanding Bible prophecy. There will be an attempt at global socialism orchestrated by 10 powerful men who wish to control the world, according to the book of Daniel. Man has always wanted to rule the world. Why? I don't know, but he still does. He just wears a suit these days and controls boardrooms rather than amassing armies in surrounding cities. There is such a thing as conspiracy. The Bible says so. Psalm chapter 2 says that the kings of the earth strategize together, make plans together, conspire together in defiance of the one true God, saying, we will not have you rule over us. And boy, are we seeing that now. Can you imagine? We have humanity saying, don't tell me what gender I am. I'll tell you what gender I feel like I am today. We have humanity having the audacity to tell God, don't tell me to govern my sex life. Don't tell me that natural sex is only supposed to be used and enjoyed within the bonds and boundaries of the marital covenant, and that God will bless such a union. I'll tell you when and who or what I want to have sex with. In fact, don't tell me about abortion. I'll murder the product of an illicit relationship if I choose to. We are shaking our fists at God as we speak. And these 10 kings will succeed to some degree. Revelation 17, the Apostle John says that these 10 men will have their hour. They have no kingdom yet, but they will. They'll have their time in the sun. They'll have a brief hour. They'll have their window. They'll have their hour to shine. But they won't be as efficient initially as like Nebuchadnezzar was, a single dread sovereign who could literally rule absolutely. Picture a table full of mob bosses. Today, you'd have men like Klaus Schwab. You'd have men like George Soros, Bill Gates. You'd have Vladimir Putin sitting at the table. You'd have Xi Jinping sitting at the table. And just as mob bosses trying to maintain control of a city like Chicago back in the day, these men are united in their goal to run the world. However, at the end of the day, they all see themselves as being at the top of the ladder. So while they're working together in unity to attain control over the planet, they also are working to double-cross one another, because as I said, at the end of the day, they see themselves as being on top. Daniel 2:43 references this. It says, they'll be together, but they'll not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. You know, one of the things that I find interesting is we've studied the Bible dealing with prophecy for over 40 years. The longer we live, the more and more clarity there seems to be. We see things unfold that literally put meat on the bones. You know, you see some of these World Economic Forum meetings and the things that they're discussing, like transhumanism. You see the ability now to track people through 5G. We see now the ability to demand that if you don't have some identifying mark, i.e. your vaccine passport, you'll be forbidden from buying, selling, or trading, or traveling, and the like. But you also see in the book of Daniel, there are actually, I think, four powers referenced, but three are primary powers. And I had always wrestled with this because I had seen the Antichrist ruling absolutely, which of course he will attempt to do the last 3.5 years and will have some degree of success. But in Daniel 11, it references this power from the West, i.e. what we would call the World Economic Forum and the United Nations. Sadly, the United States of America is now encompassed in that description. Sadly, we no longer have a president that's concerned about our well-being or doing the right thing. He has sold out to the Chinese and has sold out to the World Economic Forum. But then you also see that there is a power to the north listed. Could that be Vladimir Putin? It could be. And you see a power to the east listed, which trouble the Antichrist as he leads this power to the West. It seems as if we're seeing pieces of the puzzle fall into place, almost as if you ever did a jigsaw puzzle. I know my sister-in-law, Debbie, she loves to do jigsaw puzzle during the holidays as we get together, like on Thanksgiving week. We'll get together and then have leftovers. So we may get together 2 or 3 times in the same week. She puts out this puzzle, which to me is a fate worse than death. However, you sit there and you look at the cover and you see what the picture is going to look like, and you look at the pieces, and over time you put pieces into place. And then obviously you can see the image that's presented there. Such is true as we live life and we see more pieces of the puzzle falling into place. However, this cabal will be fractured in their personal control for power. So Daniel 7 says they will put forward a front man, a little horn, a super politician who promises peace. And global socialism will be implemented, we know, in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. It's interesting that in Daniel 11, it also says that the Antichrist will prosper through deception, and the KJV says through craft or sorcery or witchcraft. I find it interesting when you see the Black Lives Matter recruiters going into classrooms trying to instruct kids on how to channel their dead forefathers through them by repeating their name. Then we also know about the secret societies, for example, Skull and Bones at Yale, at the Bohemian Grove. Ladies and gentlemen, you would be amazed to learn that there really is an elite club of global leaders. In fact, many of them have gone on to become president, served in administration, or in some areas of great power and influence around the world, that literally gather together for a few weeks and dance naked around a graven image of an owl. After 6,000 years, humanity hasn't changed at all. We're still pagan, wanting to worship false gods rather than bend our knee to the true God. However, the scripture tells us that this man that we call Antichrist, I'll say more a super narcissist politician, will eventually become the absolute dictator. This will take place at the midpoint of the tribulation. After the temple is rebuilt, then he, the Bible says, he will go in and defile it, demanding that he be worshipped, and he will claim to be God at that point in time. Now, we know when this will happen. I believe this man won't even be demonic control. I believe he'll actually be indwelt by Satan himself. But control of the world will be accomplished economically. He who controls the money controls the people. And there will be a push to demand submission through receiving a number or a mark without which a person won't be able to buy, sell, or trade or do business. I do know that the vaccine passport is not the mark of the beast, but I believe it is a precursor preparing the world to receive it. And quite frankly, the more I study, the more I'm convinced that this ESG score, this numerical evaluation, which will allow you to be able to buy, sell, or trade or not to, will tie into this to some degree. But Revelation 6 tells us about how the beginning years of the tribulation will unfold. Actually, the part where man's inhumanity to man is what is on display before the supernatural judgments are poured out. But we call these the seal judgments. As we see the fulfillment of what is prophesied in Daniel 7, verse 13, where the Son of Man receives his kingdom from the Ancient of Days, or God the Father. In Revelation 5, we see this Lamb who had been slain coming to take this seven-sealed scroll from the right hand of the Father. This is the title deed to planet Earth, as our kinsman redeemer sets out to redeem that which he owns, which he created, that is planet Earth itself, and establish literally the kingdom of heaven on earth. These seals are opened as claims of redemption are carried out. The scripture tells us that the first seal begins with the introduction of this super politician. With promises of peace and safety, he calls to disarm, which of course will be followed by mass murder, which is the standard operating plan for a communist overthrow. Disarm the people. And of course, we're doing it for your own good. We're doing it for your own safety. But once disarmed, then man can't defend himself and is helpless to resist against an oppressor. All communist revolutions were supposedly democratic revolutions for the working class man, but it's always the working class man that is crushed in the tyranny of his own government. Verse 6 then details this third seal which is open. And it says that a black horse came riding forth, and the rider carried a set of balances in his hand. As you read this, you understand that it's symbolic for a shortage of food. As in biblical terms, food is measured by weight and water is measured by weight, which means rationing. But notice what else is said in these verses. A measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, but see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, a penny or a denarius was a day's wage for a blue-collared worker. Normally, a day's wage would buy 10 times this much food, but instead, one measure of wheat was a day's food supply. So what do you call a person who works all day and only makes enough to eat? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we would call that person a slave. Slaves had a roof over their heads wherever their owner said they could live. Slaves had clothes to wear whatever their master said they could wear. And then whatever the landowner decided they could eat, and it was just enough for the day. But oil and wine, it says here, are symbols of prosperity. They're symbols of the better things in life. So while there is rationing for the masses, apparently there is an abundance of oil and wine for the privileged. Folks, in every state-run tyrannical regime, there are always the privileged few. In the Soviet Union, it was the Politburo. The privileged few that lived lives of extravagance, lived lives of great comfort, driving luxury automobiles, living in wonderful homes with plenty of everything and the freedom to travel. They were the members of the party. But the vast rabble, the 99%, all were dressed in their same gray, drabby clothes, and they all had their place in an 800-square-foot tenement building, stacked and packed one on top of the other with their thermostats set at 80 degrees or whatever. That's just the way it's always been. The world will look to and follow this peacemaker who shall, once he's in control, turn to war and raw power to impose his will, which will be followed by famine, and or hyperinflation, and or slavery, all of which will result in death. But Revelation 6 also talks about deaths through plagues or pandemics. The fourth seal reveals a pale green or chlorine-colored horse. The scripture says, "And his name that sat upon this horse was death and hell." So you see, both body and soul. "The power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger or famine, with death, and with the beasts of the earth." Now, the sword we have already seen and talked about. Famine and rationing we've already seen and talked about. But the KJV uses the word death. So this rider called death kills with death. What does that mean? Well, this second rendering of death is rendered as pestilence or plague or disease in other translations. Now, ladies and gentlemen, understand what's being said here. The first 3.5 years of the tribulation can purely be explained as man's inhumanity to man, as the Holy Spirit is withdrawn to some degree and the outpouring of God's judgment is allowed to occur through the evil of this man, Antichrist, and this global cabal. But the scripture clearly says that 25% of the world's population will die at this period of time. Now think about that for just a moment. During the period of the Great War, the war to end all wars, i.e. World War I, roughly 40 million people died in those certain number of 4 or 5 years. During World War II, some 60 to 80 million people died during that period from the late 30s through 1945. But here it says that 25% of the world's population. Well, what would that be today? Somewhere between 1.5 to 2 billion people will die during these first 42 months. Revelation 18 actually tells us something that I had never really considered before. Actually, when visiting with Dr. Lee Merritt at one of our last conferences, the lights came on as we were having this discussion. But it tells us that the world will be deceived through what the KJV translates as sorcery or witchcraft or casting a spell. However, the Greek word is pharmakia. The world will be deceived by pharmacy. Well, what have we just endured? The first salvo of the world being deceived through pharmacy. Ladies and gentlemen, in the remaining time, let me paint a picture of current events where this is leading. And it's at this point I will tie together the hoax of global climate change, or let me say man-made global climate change, and this effort to establish global governance. And you'll understand the politics behind the deception of this man-made global climate change. This is a replica of the Arch of Baal. Now, as you can see, this picture was taken with this arch erected in Washington, D.C. The original was built in the 3rd century by the Roman Caesars and stood for some 1,700 years before it was ultimately destroyed by ISIS in 2015. But man set out to rebuild it. And this 20-foot replica carved out of Egyptian marble has been taken around the world and set up in some of the leading communities. Trafalgar Square in London, New York City in the United States, Florence, Geneva, Washington, D.C., and then, of course, in Dubai in 2017, it was erected for the World Government Summit. Now, the point I'm making is this. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Man, still man. We have the same sin nature that we had 5,000 years ago. Man, still have this corrupt desire to reject the true God of the Bible. We're drawn towards false gods that we can carve out of stone. And we have a desire to rule over our fellow man. Man's always wanted to rule over his fellow man. Going all the way back to Nimrod and the original Babel. However, at one time that was sought to be done through siege and amassing vast armies. Now it's done through corporate boardrooms and board control, controlling financial interests and deception with companies like BlackRock and Vanguard that together have some $20 trillion worth of investment capital where they buy their way onto corporations and then have controlling interests on these corporate boards. Over the last 100 years, man thought to consolidate power through militant communism and revolution. We know that Vladimir Lenin took over and established the Soviet Union, brought it to power in 1917. It was thought that beginning there, it would have a domino effect throughout the world. Lord knows they have tried. That's what the Korean War was all about. That's what the Vietnamese War was all about and countless other smaller conflicts around the world. But as we've studied on Wednesday nights, communism or the economics of communism doesn't work. Of course, that was proven after 4 decades of the Cold War. The Soviet Union fell, or so we thought. Mikhail Gorbachev was the last of 8 leaders of the Soviet Union, covering some 74 years and beginning with Vladimir Lenin. He was the Secretary General of the USSR from 1985 to 1991. Let me ask you, what does a retired communist dictator decide to do for a living? Well, interestingly, this one decided to move to San Francisco and take over the leadership of a global environmental organization. As a matter of fact, as you can read what this article from the Los Angeles Times says, he debuted last week as founding president of the newly organized International Green Cross, which bills itself as the world's first all-encompassing global environmental group. The civilization that has existed for centuries, we have a quote here from the former Secretary General, is beginning to exhaust its potential and is no longer able to preserve and improve life on Earth. Gorbachev have declared as the group's charter was adopted at a meeting here of religious leaders, legislators, and scientists from around the world. For the first time, we see a threat to the very existence of the human race. For the first time, we see signs of danger to the very stability of the biosphere. Now, last week, we learned about the facts of climate, of this man-made global climate change. We learned about the hoax of it. No one of us was ever taught that if you look at the last 2,000 years, looking at proven scientific methods, there have actually been periods of time in world history that are warmer than we are now and much colder than we have seen in recent years. There was the period of the medieval warming period. There was the Roman warming period. There was the Little Ice Age. But we're not taught about that. Why? Because if man is responsible for warming and cooling on planet Earth and it's all about fossil fuels, well, that is absolutely impossible for fossil fuels to have contributed to the medieval warming period or the Roman warming period or the Little Ice Age. So we see this former premier of the Soviet Union amazingly has an interest in the climate after he loses his job as dictator of the largest communist nation on the planet. What a coincidence, don't you think? Well, at this same time, 1991, a globalist think tank met in Rome. The discussion was how now that this great threat to the world called communism had been dealt a lethal blow, what could they now use to nudge people towards their intended direction to consolidate power into global government? You remember our last president, or next to last president, our president for Trump was President Obama. Of course, you remember his executive stating, you never let a crisis go to waste. Folks, there's no greater time to assume illegal power as a governor than during a time of crisis. Presidents assume dictatorial powers frequently during times of war. We saw what Justin Trudeau did in Canada just months ago when he declared that these truckers were creating a state of danger to the country, so he was able to implement dictatorial powers, which he actually didn't have according to the Constitution. Look at all the things that have taken place over the last 2 years. We decided to identify this pandemic that has a 1% death rate as a war against humanity. Therefore, the president and local governments assume powers that they don't have, that they don't actually have. No government has the power to tell you how to run your small business or to close the doors of your business, or that we can't meet in church. No government has the authority to make you take a shot when you don't even know what's in it. No government has the authority to force you to wear a mask. But when there's a time of crisis, you can convince people that they need to follow along. After all, it's for their well-being. It's for your safety. Remember after 9/11, they immediately pushed forward the Patriot Act. It's amazing how quickly they came up with that. Folks, don't think for a minute that that wasn't already in the top drawer in somebody's desk. They were waiting for the right opportunity to unfurl it and unveil it and implement it on us. Of course, at the time, there were liberty-minded people like Ron Paul and Rand Paul and others that said, no, this is an infringement on liberty. It could be abused and used against us. But at the time, we were all petrified. Oh, no, we've got to use it to stop the Muslim threat. And look how it's being used today. It's being used against us. And again, consider COVID, the things that the government did, which they had no authority to do. But this group made this statement, the first global revolution, a report by the Council of the Club of Rome. Because of the sudden absence of traditional enemies, new enemies must be identified. In searching for a new enemy to unite us, again, we've got to have a common foe where we can unite to do battle against. We came up with the idea that pollution, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. All these dangers are caused by human intervention. And it is only through changed attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy then is humanity itself. As a matter of fact, Gorbachev went on to say a few years later in 1996, he said, the threat of environmental crisis will be the international disaster key to unlock what? The new world order. Now let me just ask you a question. What are the odds that the former Secretary General of the Soviet Union would, when his government collapsed, develop an immediate passion for climate change and decide to take over the war against man-made climate change? Folks, I think that's more than a coincidence. In fact, the following year in 1992, I'm sure this also a coincidence. 178 world governments met in Rio for the Earth Summit, where they unveiled a 1,000-page report called Agenda 21, which was signed by all 178 members, including then Republican President George Herbert Walker Bush. Play this video.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document. And
now you heard Gorbachev call this, said it was essential to establish the new world order. You all probably, if you're old enough, remember this ominous speech also given by President Bush. Dan?
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
So we see Gorbachev after the Soviet Union falls, moving to lead an effort to push forward the climate change agenda. The following year, we see the Club of Rome strategizing how they could develop an enemy to unify humanity to do battle with that enemy. They decided that it was man-made global warming. We see the following year, the Rio Summit, where the world came together to strategize how we're going to defeat this existential threat to humanity, and even America signed on to this. And of course, the stated goal by Gorbachev and Bush is the New World Order. The next year, after this guy was not reelected, then we see our next president, Bill Clinton, signing an executive order establishing the President's Council on Sustainable Development. Then we see Barack Obama establishing the White House Rural Council, literally putting into motion in local communities like Edmond these stated goals. By the way, I'm going to come back to that map later of how they plan to assume control over the world and over these countries. And ladies and gentlemen, we've been off and running ever since. Understand, this is not a Republican or a Democrat issue. This is a deep state issue. And you've heard me talk about the Republican Party. The Republican Party platform is good. I agree with the party platform. The Democratic Party platform these days is satanic. I disagree with it, lock, stock, and barrel. Now, roughly 100% of Democrats in Washington, D.C. are corrupt and part of the deep state. The sad thing is, probably at least 50%, if not 75% of the Republicans in Washington, D.C. are also corrupt and part of the deep state. Everybody is either blackmailed or bribed and bought off, and they think that at the end of the day, they're going to be part of that 1% Politburo that's able to enjoy the extravagances and luxury and life and rule over fellow men. Now understand, when you hear words like sustainability, sustainable development, smart growth, family planning, these are all buzzwords for this plan. Now ladies and gentlemen, recognize that the easiest way to control a people is not through coercion at the point of the gun, although that is effective. But the easiest way is to convince the masses that this is for your own health and good and well-being. And once they get a herd stampeding in one direction, they can basically direct it any way they want to, even if it's right over the cliff. All of these disasters, the government is coming together to save humanity, to save the planet. And you notice everything is an existential threat. COVID is an existential threat to humanity. Mankind might not even survive. Climate change, it's an existential threat. We must unify and empower the government to attack this great threat. Now, folks, I would say that our church would fall into the group of the Sons of Issachar. And there are others like us that aren't going to buy this and will never buy this deception. But they're not worried about us. They don't have to convince us. They can marginalize us, criticize us, belittle us. Because I'm almost 60. He's just on the wrong side of 60. All they've got to do is wait us out, and our generation is going to be gone. And they are busy indoctrinating the next generation.
And they're frightened.
I worry. My mom worries. The water might rise and it might flood the whole town.
We won't be able to survive for long.
What are you most worried will happen?
We'll all die.
Are there some people who say this isn't true?
Yes.
Yes.
Might they be right?
No.
How do you know they're not right?
Well, because the earth is getting hotter.
Where do you learn this?
Can't you see? Oh, can't you see? What global warming is doing? Can't you see? Oh, can't you see? What global warming is doing?
One of the main components after educating the students of global warming is that they're given a letter for their families to sign, and this is the congressman or woman. It's for Congress to pass
This is child abuse. And if you've got children of school age, please check out one of the four homeschool co-ops that utilize our building. But understand the LGBTQ+++ agenda, the critical race theory, hate America, America's the fault of everything agenda, and this climate agenda is all part of the plan. They're not trying to educate our children anymore. Reading, writing, and arithmetic no longer matter. Have you ever been to a drive-thru? Those of you that are, say, 40 or over, have you ever been through a drive-thru and, for example, maybe had a bill of $4.78 and you hand the cashier $5? And then all of a sudden you say, oh, here's three more pennies. They sit there and look at you like a mule looking at a new gate. They don't have the slightest idea what to do. If they can't punch it into the computer and have it spit out the answer, why is that? Because they aren't taught these things anymore. They're not taught, they're not educated. They're just taught how they're supposed to think. They're making global citizens out of our children, not God-fearing citizens of the state of Oklahoma. Now, 10 years, Al Gore in 2006 made the statement that we only had 10 more years and we were at a point of no return. AOC, her freshman year in Congress, made the statement that we only had 12 years until we reached a point of no return. They keep stating that this is obviously an existential crisis. We've got to do something. Well, fortunately, the leaders of the world came together. They come together annually. Last November, the UN met in Scotland for their latest global summit on this climate emergency. Now, if you want to see if this is really something that they're concerned about, they're discussing the future survival of humanity. They're talking about how civilization can survive from what now is a course of certain death. Here's President Biden in an absolute panic over the existential threat to humanity. Here's Boris Johnson. At the time, he was Prime Minister of Great Britain. You can see he is worried to death and on the edge of his seat taking notes, trying to come up with some solution, how he can save the British people. Now, folks, I can assure you, my first trip to MD Anderson, with my first visit with my cancer specialist, I was taking notes, asking questions, and paying attention because I realized how serious the situation is and was. I wasn't leaning back in my chair taking a nap. But if you want to see if this is really important to them, you can watch their own behavior. And I love this. Some real news organizations point out the hypocrisy. Here, the New York Post slammed the use of over 400 private jets flying world leaders together to the climate change summit. At the same time, Klaus Schwab is telling us in America, we just need to get used to the fact that we can't have cars anymore. Folks, you can tell by their actions if they're really concerned about this existential threat to our survival. It's all a con. They aren't concerned at all. It's all part of the plan. It's a hoax to con us. Because by 2030, you'll own nothing. And you'll be happy to own nothing. Because we're trying to avoid this existential this threat to humanity of global climate change caused by man. At the end of the day, the goal is the consolidation of power. At the end of the day, it's all about central planning. It's all about global governance. Modern day serfdom. You know, we used to study in history about the era of serfs, where you had the lord in the castle and all of his properties. And then you had the countless rabble, masses, eking out a meager existence, taking care of the lord's properties. That's what they're pushing back to. Yeah, we'll own nothing because they'll own everything. My opening slides, I pointed out a global cabal that wants to run the world. I think that is the World Economic Forum. It's in progress. Does this mean all these events are going to come about within the next few weeks? Nope. Might not be 5 years, might be 10 years, might even be longer. However, I would say you can check the box that this one they have accomplished. There will be a super politician that this group puts forward to represent them. How often do you see George Soros on camera? Not very. But as we have learned, who's behind the scenes with all these corrupt district attorneys across our country? Well, George Soros. These men love to work behind the scenes. You won't see Bill Gates out on stage very often. You won't see George Soros out on stage very often. This group of 10, which we've talked about, they'll be partly together and partly not. Again, they're unified in their goal of global government, unifying the government. However, at the same time, they're busy evaluating how they can backstab each other, because at the end of the day, they see themselves on top. Well, they recognize in order to carry forth their plan, they need a good pitch man, a good front man, someone that presents himself well, that can be all things to all people. And that's what this man that we reference as the Antichrist in the Bible be. He's not going to come out with great horns. He's going to come out and appear to be that super ideal politician that appeals to everyone. Now, I've got my suspicions as to who it might be. I'll not share those publicly, but I'll share them with you privately, and I've got my reasons for thinking so. However, if you read the scripture, the devil doesn't know God's timeline. The devil always has someone waiting in the wings and is ready to push forward. So throughout world history, there have been men that were in a position that could have filled this bill, should that have been the time. I think there's somebody in particular out there now, but again, I'll not reference him. There will be disarming of the public. That is in process. What's the one nation that's still free globally? That is the United States. You know why, sir, we're still free? Didn't you see some of the videos of what went on in Australia during the lockdown? Did you see police arresting people for going out in public? One man was on an elevator by himself without a mask, and they arrested him. You know why they're able to impose such tyranny? Because man is disarmed. He doesn't have the ability to do anything about it. Didn't you see some of the things that were going on in communist China over this lockdown? Locking down entire cities. Have you seen some of the video where you can hear the audio as they're panning across the city, and you can just hear the screams and cries of hundreds of thousands of people crying outside their window because they have nothing to eat, nothing to drink, no air conditioning. They're locked in their apartments as hostages. You know why that goes on there and not here? Thank God our forefathers understood the value of the Second Amendment. By the way, the Second Amendment says that Congress cannot touch our guns under any circumstances. I don't care what it is. They don't have the authority to do so. In fact, if I want to have an aircraft carrier, I can have an aircraft carrier if I can afford it. And you don't have to worry. As a matter of fact, if you have the slip next to me at the lake, you're going to feel very secure because you know I'm a moral good guy. In fact, one thing about our church, if you went through our church, the reason we don't have metal detectors in here is about half of our congregation is carrying. That doesn't make this a more dangerous place. This is probably the safest place in Edmond this Sunday. But they've already disarmed most of the rest of the world. That's why they're pushing so hard to come after us. And this is a deal killer. If Congress passes something like this, then Oklahoma and Texas need to secede from the Union. We need to take the Declaration of Independence with us because they're ignoring it. And understand, the Second Amendment wasn't so we could go hunting. And the Second Amendment wasn't so we could even defend our own homes. The Second Amendment is so we could defend ourselves from an abusive, corrupt, governing authority. And these idiots that sit there and say, well, the Second Amendment, they weren't talking about semi-automatic weapons. They weren't talking about state-of-the-art military weapons. Yes, they were. State-of-the-art military weapon in 1776 was a Brown Best musket. As a matter of fact, when the Redcoats were marching to Lexington and Concord, it was because they had heard reports that the militias up there owned some cannon. Not Derringers, cannon. Next thing, famines. Have you seen what's been going on in the Netherlands this week? Or in these past weeks? We have seen that in the Netherlands, they are asking, or actually they are demanding that farmers reduce their emissions, their greenhouse gas emissions by 40%. And in doing so, they're requiring that farmers eliminate 30% of their cattle. We've already seen it's not cattle flatulence that's causing CO2. It's that big orange ball of fire in the middle of the universe reflecting off of that big pool of water, the ocean, that covers 72% of our planet. That is the primary emitter of CO2. Has nothing to do with this. By the way, what happens when you say, farmers, hey, you can't use fertilizer anymore? People starve to death. That's what they're objecting to. In fact, that's already happened in Sri Lanka. Just a couple of years ago, Sri Lanka was fertile and flush and profitable. They were doing great until the World Bank convinced them that they needed to get their ESG scores up. Environment, social, and governance. I think I'll touch on that a little bit this Wednesday. Dan actually has already preached a great message on it. Look back in our archives, as you referenced a while ago. Well, they've done a great job. Their ESG score is now up to 98%. Wonderful. They're all starving to death. As a matter of fact, the Global Biodiversity Assessment reported that if the world stopped using fertilizers, the world's harvest would be cut in half. What do you think that would do to the world? Do you think we'd see rationing? Do you think we'd see mass starvation? Folks, we see that Ukraine, the breadbasket of Europe, has already been out of operation for the last year. We see Bill Gates and the communist Chinese buying up American farmland. What on earth for? He who controls the food and controls the water can control the people. As we've been doing our through-the-year Bible reading, do you reference how the Pharaoh accumulated so much power during that time of famine? Well, President Biden even made the statement to the public to prepare for shortages. Ladies and gentlemen, I am almost 60 years old. In my entire life, I never walked into a grocery store and saw empty shelves. Not even on Black Friday. We never had empty shelves. First time I saw empty shelves was over the last 2 years. Now we got this idiot telling us to prepare that that's just going to be the new normal. If we let them have their way, it will be. By the way, the number one threat to the world is not climate, it's poverty, according to every honest scientist. Your inability to feed yourself means you will most certainly die. And then I referenced earlier, by the way, it wasn't me coming up with this list. I was just following down Revelation chapter 6, pandemics. Now we've already seen what happens with a virus that has a 1% death rate. You saw Senator Rand Paul interviewing some scientists this last week before the Senate, and they're talking about, they're concerned about viruses that are being manipulated right now, or man-made created viruses, which have a 60% death rate. What would happen if that was accidentally unleashed upon the public? We've already seen the deception through pharmacy. There will be more of it. Those that don't have eyes to see won't see. And then I'd always puzzled about the wild animals. I'd assumed that that had just been a generational thing. Of course, it was talked about in Ezekiel, talked about again in Revelation. I assumed, well, in their day and age, that was an issue. I never assumed that we would ever face that in our lifetime. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the map of Agenda 21 for the United States of America. Everything it is in red is restricted. No humans allowed. By the way, including all of our waterways. Notice the Mississippi River. That is also controlled by the government. Everything in yellow is buffer zones. These few green areas here, those are the areas set aside for human beings for normal use. So understand what you're going to see is a great reduction in population. It's necessary. By the way, these idiots think that it's necessary. And you will no longer have your private property. You'll be forced to move to the cities. And you'll have your 800-square-foot tenement where you can't set your thermostat below 80 degrees because our windmills are swirling just as fast as they can. And we don't want to have any rolling brownouts. I never experienced a brownout or a blackout in my entire life until this last year. What, are we crazy? But I think we'll get to the point. Now, obviously, we won't be here during the tribulation, but this will be, they're pushing towards this now. We could be seeing this happen and implemented before the rapture of the church. You talk about being eaten by wild animals? Well, if you look how much that man is not allowed to have access to, and you can rest assured that you go for a walk through that portion of the woods, which is considered mixed use, you may find yourself getting eaten by a wild animal. But again, the whole purpose of this, by these crazy people, it really is to shrink the population. Look at these people that are godless, those that are without God, that have no hope of eternity. They are trying to create these ideas of transhumanism, literally being discussed at the World Economic Forum. They're trying to figure out how they can transfer their consciousness from these mortal bodies to where they live on forever. They're trying to do hybrids between humans and computers. Why? They're seeking eternal life without God. Let me tell you what. They'll live for eternity without God, but it's going to be in the lake of fire. And they actually believe that the population of planet Earth is too much for a sustainable Earth. Living the lifestyle that we now live in the 21st century, the ideal population for planet Earth is somewhere between 500 million and 1 billion people. You know what the population is right now? Almost 8 billion. So Houston, we have a problem. Isn't it interesting that the man who is so obsessed with developing vaccines... Well, vaccine, that's generally for the health of people, right? That's so we can live better lives, live longer. He's also the one that's championing that we are overpopulated by 7 billion people. Now, folks, I could see some philanthropist that's obsessed with good health and long life, and I can see some philanthropist that's a nut that thinks we're overpopulated, but I can't see the same guy holding both positions. Revelation 6 says that 25% of the global population will die in a 42-month period of time. Now, as I get ready to come in and land, I want to introduce you to our former president, Bill Clinton. These were some remarks that he made at his nomination as the Democrat candidate for president in 1992 about his mentor. Please note.
And then, as a student at Georgetown, I heard that call clarified by a professor named Carol Quigley.
Carol Quigley was a Harvard professor, wrote the book Tragedy and Hope, said this, that the globalist aim is nothing less than to create a world system of financial control in private hands able to dominate the political system of each country and the economy of the world as a whole. This system was to be controlled in a feudalistic fashion by the central banks of the world acting in concert by secret agreements arrived at in frequent meetings and conferences. And that is exactly what we're seeing with the Bilderbergers, with the United Nations, with the World Economic Forum. Ladies and gentlemen, last week's message, we talked about the facts of climate change or man-made global climate change. It is a hoax. This week, we looked at the politics behind it, and now you understand how imperative it is to create a boogeyman, to scare the world and unite the world, and we've got to come together and do something about this, and it's always an existential threat. But I've got some good news as I close. First of all, we know that light destroys darkness every time. Take today's message, last week's message, others, share them with your friends, share them with everybody you can on social media. We also know that truth overcomes lies. And what we will be, our church, along with our network of liberty pastors across the country, we're going to be the little boy that points at the emperor and says the truth. He's not wearing any clothes. This whole thing is a crock. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand, and I'm over time, so we're going to end quickly. The Lord has commanded us to occupy until he comes. comes again. Dan and I have the privilege of shepherding this church and leading this flock that God has entrusted to us. We will defend our congregation. We will defend our families from any attack. And brother, as we're going to go, as we've talked about today, if somebody comes in this church wanting to do harm to our church body, they're going to find themselves looking like Swiss cheese. Somebody comes into my home, I don't want to ever shoot anybody. You break into my house and you threaten my family, I'm going to shoot you until you stop breathing. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to protect my family from any attack. We're going to preach Jesus. We're going to stand actively against all evil as long as God gives us breath. And my hope and prayer is that when the shofar does sound and we're caught up to be with the Lord, that this congregation, our wives, our families, our children, our grandchildren will still be enjoying the blessings of liberty in America, and that America will still be free. But until then, recognize the signs of the times, ladies and gentlemen. I think we're getting close. And as Jesus said, when you see these things beginning to come about, then look up, because your redemption is drawing nigh.